Video is truly one of a kind in this area, complete with 20 state-of-the-art live fitness bikes and an incredible sound system. Our strength training is done in small groups of six or fewer, and all of our strength and spin classes are scalable for every level of experience. Come see us in the heart of Clarksville, just behind MAPCO at the corner of Old Trenton Road and Wilma Rudolph Boulevard. Call us for more info at 931-542-6265 or download our Trifecta Fitness app for a full list of upcoming classes.
This is a message from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Got a question about your VA benefits, healthcare, or eligibility? Go to va.gov, where you can access a new interactive chatbot to ask questions 24/7. One can still browse va.gov for information, but you can now ask specific questions to the chatbot, like what's the PACT Act? How do I apply for disability benefits? What's my claim status? You can access the new feature through va.gov's Contact Us page. Then click on the Start Chat button. The chatbot will continue to improve veterans' access to information about the benefits and services they've earned. This is one way VA is offering seamless and secure access to its online resources.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome back.
Misfit Nation Show.
We are a show founded by a veteran and hosted by two veterans and a military spouse. Our mission is to get people to tell their stories to the world. If you're an author, share your tips with the Misfit Nation. If you're a musician or an actor, our audience needs to know how they too can get into the business. Coaches, we love our coaches. Come on and share your tips with Misfit Nation to help them become better versions of themselves. If you are a corporate leader or an entrepreneur, come on and show how you did it and how hard you have fought for success. If you are a veteran, first responder, or Gold Star family, we would love to have you come on and share your story with the Misfit Nation. We always have time for you. If you're feeling down, alone, or starting to see the darkness, Stop. Think about those who are around you. You are not alone. You will be missed. If you feel like your problems will be a burden to those in your inner circle or feel embarrassed, dial 988. If you are a veteran, take option one. We need you to keep pushing forward. Don't make a permanent solution to a temporary problem. If you are a new listener, welcome to the Misfit Nation Show. Be sure to subscribe to our show on your favorite podcast app. Also on our YouTube channel at @_MisfitNation. Subscribe and click the bell to keep you up to date on our latest episodes and all of our news. You can also find us on Heroes Media Group and About Face Radio. Now, let's get to the show!
All right, welcome back to the Misfit Nation. Yes, that's right. You heard the actual bell tonight, not just me clapping my hands above a desk in a hotel room. I'm back in Freedom Land, and it feels a lot better to be here and standing up at my desk. And it even feels better to have an awesome guest come tonight, a friend of the show, a friend of ours. He has a distinguished career that spans over 20 years in the United States Army, where he served as an intelligence professional and senior non-commissioned officer. Throughout his military service, he was committed to taking care of his fellow soldiers, a mission he continues to take through his SOS podcast. With a master's degree in administrative leadership from the University of Oklahoma and several advanced degrees under his belt, he brings a wealth of knowledge and expertise to his work. As a member of the Maxwell leadership team and a certified resiliency trainer, he is passionate about empowering veterans to thrive in their personal and professional lives. So without further ado, let's welcome Sean Welsh to the Misfit Nation. Welcome, Sean. How you doing, brother?
Oh, I'm doing great, Rich. Thanks for having me on here today.
I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad that we swapped positions, and now you're in a room with bad lighting and the hotel leadership behind you.
Oh, yeah. Nothing like hotel living.
Heck yeah. And you're going to stay a lot longer than I did based on our green room conversation, and my heart goes out to you.
You should be praying for my back.
Your back, yeah, definitely. Your back. I'm 100%. Hopefully, you have good pillows, and maybe they'll give you some new ones.
There you go. There you go.
All right, brother. I gave basically a couple sentences about you, if you don't mind, tell the Misfit Nation a little bit about you from as far back as you want to go to how we got here.
All right. Well, first of all, I'll say it's really weird to hear someone else talk about you. Now I know how the guests feel when I'm doing it. So how far we go back? So I was born in Puerto Rico at Roosevelt Naval Hospital. That always throws people for a loop. And my wife is Filipino. She was naturalized when she was a youth. So when we got married down at the courthouse, they really looked at us funny trying to do the marriage certificate. So I've been married for 23 years. A wonderful woman that I met in college. We have two wonderful kids that are, growing up way faster than we want them to. But going through it, man, I went to college. That's where I met my wife in Pensacola, Florida. And from there, some of your listeners may remember the old Sam Goody stores. I used to manage one of those back in the day. Always wanted to go to like the record labels. I wanted to be an A&R rep. That's what I was trying to do. The guy goes to hang out in bars and finds new talent. So I always thought that'd be a dream life, but 9/11 happened, decided I needed to do something probably a little bit more important. So I went ahead and joined the Army and, did 20 years, been in Korea, Germany. And then most of my time in the States has been in the South between two stops in Georgia and one in Texas. Retired at 20 years, did Intel my entire career and, got it. Finally, retired. So now I have a better travel agent. I don't go to scenic spots like Iraq or Afghanistan anymore. But all in all, I mean, it was a wonderful experience. The people you meet, the lifelong bonds that you develop just from going through the same crap together. And then continue to do that kind of thing once you get out, during the transition process, about 6 months in is when I started the podcast. One of my friends, one of my mentors was trying to, he was pushing me saying, hey, you need to do this. At the time I was doing a lot of LinkedIn videos and stuff. He's like, oh, you get all this micro content. I'm like, I don't know, but yeah, but so we went ahead and started it and, man, what a blessing. What an absolute blessing Bet SOS has been. During my transition, I'm literally hearing the stories from everybody of what not to do. So my transition was actually very, very good. I was very blessed. And, it was just amazing. So, we continue today. We're getting close to recording episode 100, and we're hoping that, people are listening to it just to learn about the different, programs and organizations that are out there so that they too can have a good transition.
Definitely. Episode 100 is a big milestone for you guys, and also had the honor of being on your show, and I had a great time chatting with you guys. I think that was the most comfortable I've been on a show talking with you guys, and of course I'm in a horrible hotel room at the time, but I had a great time chatting with you guys, and it's so easy when you talk to fellow podcasters and fellow vets especially, because you're basically on that same wavelength and everyone's like, oh yeah, it's like talking to brothers, even though we never met each other in real life. It's like we're still wearing BDUs and we're talking to each other, like just chewing the fat. That's all we're doing at the time. It just feels great.
That you're hoping that you don't ask a question. It's just crickets with other podcasters. They tend to answer you, which is great.
They'll give you something at least. They'll just throw something out there. Yeah, this must be something that he wants. I'm going to say some words and this will be awesome.
Absolutely.
Was there anyone in your life that kind of steered you towards joining the Army, or was it just something, a matter of fact, some dude came to your high school and said, hey, I'm your recruiter. You really want to be in the Army. Let's do this.
All right. So I throw a wrench in that whole thing. So my dad was career Navy. He never pushed the military on us. Always supported us no matter what we wanted to do. So I never had anything against the military. I was trying to find my own way. And I thought, being in the music industry was going to be it. And so after 9/11, when I joined, I was 28. So I came in 10 years older than, everybody that was in boot camp with me. So I'm, mimicking stripes the whole time during boot camp and they don't know what I'm talking about.
That's outstanding. Yeah, I'm sure they still left you. They called you pops, I'm sure, during the whole time.
I got called a lot of things. not all ones we can probably say on the air. But yes. No, I mean, I think doing that, you learn how to relate, which I think served me well throughout my career, because by the end of my career, I was older than some of my sergeant majors, you know, and I'm like, oh man, so I'm definitely, and they didn't hesitate to point that out, you know, she's older than me. So, you know, but coming in older like that, you learn ways to relate, right? You know, because it's not about rank. You need to make those personal connections. And when you do that with your soldiers or your, you know, your juniors, they relate to that and they respond to it. So, you know, coming in later in life, actually, I think helped me in the long run.
I was a little old as you. I was 22, 21, 22 when I came in. 22 years old when I came in active duty. So I was kind of the older guy coming into active duty. And I came in as a specialist because I had some college. So it kind of helped me a little bit coming in as a specialist. So you don't look as old as you are at that point, I guess. But you still was on a steep learning curve coming in as a specialist into the Army, not knowing a dang thing. I had no idea what DRF was, what alerts were. And I messed that up horribly. My first duty station, they were on DRF, and they were alerted to go to Somalia right after Black Hawk Down happened. And I was in my barracks room. So I learned a lesson, very valuable lesson right there for my first arm.
Probably learned some new language too. A
lot of language. First Sergeant Runyon taught me a lot of big words that day.
Yep, absolutely.
And different muscle groups too.
Yep. Learn all kinds of great things that you never thought you'd learn in life.
Yes. Or things you never thought you wanted to learn, I guess. Whatever. And why intelligence? Why did you choose intelligence?
Oh, how do I do this without insulting a bunch of people? No, in reality, I didn't want to go infantry. I mean, that was really it. And you know, I scored high enough that I could pretty much do any job that I wanted to do. But when I came in, what I really wanted to do was counter intel, but they weren't filling any billets for counter intel when I came in. So I picked intel analyst. And then, you know, part of it is you kind of get that idea that you're all going to be Jason Bourne doing all this, you know, really cool stuff. And then you realize that, you know, as intel analyst, you're doing arms room inspections and PERSEC when you're in garrison. And, you know, you don't get to really do the real intel until you get to the higher levels or you go overseas. So it was just one of those things, you know, it sounded like it was going to be a really cool job. And the one thing I knew coming in 10 years older than everybody else was intel provided a lot of opportunities outside the military too, you know, cause you'd have that, clearance, you'd have the experience. One thing I didn't know going in was Fort Huachuca in the intel field was one of the first ones to have the college credits associated with it. So when I was at AIT and when I went back to BNOC and ANOC, you know, I got college credit through Cochise College there locally. You know, not that I necessarily need the credits, but you know, it's an easy eval bullet. It's something else to do while you're at school. And, you know, it's something you can turn around and tell your soldiers, hey, when you go out there, do this. It's going to help you.
100%. I don't think our MOS, I was chemical, of course, you know that, but I don't think ours picked up on the college thing until right towards the end of my career. So it was past the time I went to AIT, past time I went to BNOC, past when I went to ANOC. So it was for the new soldiers. It wasn't for me at all. So I got basically what the Army is telling you you're supposed to when you go to a college. We'll give you 7 credits for physical fitness and an elective. Awesome. Thank you. And that's what I got.
Yeah. And that's heartbreaking too, because like Cochise College, I think that if I remember correctly, they actually adjusted your score based on your PT test. You know, so if you didn't, you may actually get a B instead of an A or.
Come on.
I could be wrong there, but maybe since I remember 300 PT stud, maybe I'm just mad about it. I don't know.
That's a great adjustment.
Yep.
And now with your podcast, I mean, you guys talk to so many people about the transition story. Talk to me, talk to Chris Lancia, my buddy. And there's so many, 100 episodes. So 98 other people you talk to about transition. What do you see as the trend for people hitting that hiccup as they come out?
The number one thing is still time. People wait too long to start. There's actually a school of thought that, you know, I've kind of adopted and started pushing is you should really start transitioning as soon as you join the military. And that doesn't mean, you know, quiet quitting or anything like that. That just means, you know, if you really love what you're doing and you think that's what you're going to do later in life after the military, why not start working on professional certifications or education that applies to that field? But grand scheme of things is when it comes down to the end, there's so much going on. So try to start as early as possible. If you can start 2 years out, if you can start a little bit earlier than that, start as early as possible because then you can spread some things out. It's not a hindrance to the command. It's easier for them to swallow when you say, hey, I got a class this month. I got a class in 2 months. I got a class up here. You know, so you're breaking it up, making it easier on them because a lot of commands still count you as a body and need you to do some things, right? So not everybody gets to just retire for 2 years. They actually have to do some work and what have you. So the earlier you start, the more you're going to be able to fit in. I would say that's still probably the number one thing that we're hearing because a lot of people, they'll be 6 months or less, which is just mind-boggling to me.
Yes. And I've seen that. I've seen a lot of guys and gals that wait till they think they have all everything lined up, all the ducks in a row. They get into that window where it's less than, like you said, less than 6 months. I'm going to go do ACAP or whatever. It's Soldier for Life now. And, okay, this isn't what I thought it was. I don't have all of my ducks in a row. I think I'm in trouble. And do I have enough to make it through that six-month maybe grace period where I won't find a job because now I'm outside that realm. I don't know where I'm supposed to go. I don't know what to do with my hands once I put the boots off. And it's a hard time for a lot of people.
Oh, it is. And you start to see that post-military big time. I got involved in an organization called Operation Barnabas here locally in Jacksonville where I retired. And their whole focus is it's a Christian ministry based on, you know, getting first responders and veterans off the street who are homeless. You know, so we're finding people that just they got into trouble, they ran out of options, you know, and they wind up on the street somehow, you know, and we've been able to help some people. We got some good things coming up. They're going to be able to help some more, which I'm really proud of. But through that, we're starting to see that it's that whole, the big term is, you know, finding your tribe. You know, once you leave the military, you lose all that camaraderie, is finding that group you really fit in. And I never went looking for it. You know, it wasn't when I left the military, I was like, oh man, now I don't know what to do. You know, I just figured something was going to come along. It was, to me, it was another PCS, right? And I wound up getting involved with Operation Barnabas. And, you know, I have some people in that group now that I consider very dear friends, you know, and I've only known them a couple months, 6 months, 8 months, you know, so finding those people that you can automatically relate to, I mean, it's just, it's priceless.
Definitely that. When I worked for the Mission Continues, I would learn more about the tribe mentality and finding that purpose because, like I told you guys on the show, it took me a year to find that job. And then I found that job. And while I was in there, I was still trying to learn my way and trying to find my purpose. And I knew helping others was part of that purpose and being a part of that to help others. I picked the book Tribe by Sebastian Younger. And just, it's a quick read. It's not a big book, but it goes through every step why the tribe is important to make it through life. Have you read the book and what are your thoughts on it if you have?
I have not read the book, but it's definitely, I've heard of it and it's one that's on my list. And as you know, doing podcasting, you get recommended a lot of books.
Yes.
And I will admit right here in front of your whole audience that I am a slow reader. So I don't speed through books. It does take me some time, but if it's on my list, it's on my list. And, you know, I try to get to them all.
Yeah. That's one I suggest once you start reading it, you're like, yes, that's exactly what the tribe is about. And it's everything. He basically talks to us. His time as a military correspondent was in Afghanistan. And as you know, Afghanistan is a tribal society. So it really shows how that works in real life. And I was like, well, this is good. So every once in a while, I still pick it up and finger through, find that one page. Like, yeah, this is what he was talking about. Bam, it's good. Are there any books that you have read since you've gotten out, or even while you were in as an intel guy? I'm sure you've read, had to read a lot as an intel dude to find out about other cultures and such that really stuck out in your mind to help you during your transition, or maybe to help others?
So the one book that I recommended the most while I was in the military was Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People. Dealing with intel people, anybody who's ever worked with intel people knows that some of them have personality, and some of them you just want to lock in a room and they give you products under the door, you hand them food, and you guys never talk ever again. So that was one book that I always recommended to try to get some of these less personable people to come out of their shell a little bit and be able to relate to people. Because the one thing I always tried to harp on with my guys was that when it comes to intel, as soon as they believe that you're lying or you're making stuff up, you've lost all credibility. You know, so you have to be able to build that connection, and you can't be scared to say you don't know, but I also expect you to go try to find the answer, right? So when we're doing an intel brief, if we don't know the answer, we better go find it, because, you know, it meant enough for somebody to ask the question. So that was one book I always recommended. Since I've been out, the one book that I recommended just about anybody who, especially if they haven't done their VA claim, is Paul Lawrence's book on doing the VA claim. It's basically a how-to SOP. I mean, it just breaks down everything. And for some reason, the actual title is skipping me right now, but just a fantastic book. If you don't know Paul Lawrence, he was the undersecretary of the VA for benefits under, I think, Trump. So comes in with that experience, knows how to do it. Great book for the transition piece. Another book, the Commit Foundation has a book, and I'm drawing a blank on book names tonight. But that's another good one that really helped, because I did the Commit Foundation's program, and reading that book in conjunction with it really helped the whole thing go along. But those are probably the two main ones that I try to, you know, recommend to people. There's a handful of leadership books I really like, some of it through the Maxwell stuff that I've done. Bob Berg has a great book called Go Giver. It's all about, you know, being a servant leader in that, you know, giving to receive type mentality, where, you know, you're going to get further in life by giving to others. That's another great book, I think, especially for young leaders.
Yes. I think Paul Lawrence's book is Veterans Benefits for You. I think that's the book you're speaking of on him. I think that's a real good one for, especially for those who are about to start that transition. Like we said earlier, 6 months is not the time to do it. It should probably be about 2 years out. You start this whole, actually, as soon as you raise that right hand the first time, you know there's an end point. You have to get out at some point. Start doing that whole role to say, hey, all my ducks are in a row. What benefits do I deserve as I get out? And most likely you're going to get a lot of, the more years you do, the more beat up you are, the more broke down you're going to be physically, bones start to mesh together, because, you know, we do amazing things in the military that are awesome for our bodies. And you'll learn that as you go to that stuff and make sure you get the benefits you get when you get to the VA.
Yeah, and by all means, it's something you've earned. I still hear too many people talking about, well, I don't want to take away from somebody else. You're not taking away from anybody. These are benefits you've earned. Apply for it and see what you deserve according to the VA, and, you know, make sure you have those resources available to you.
And you definitely hear that from, there's a lot of guys that, or angles that, if I do this, that means I'm giving up. I'm too broke to do anything I'm supposed to do. They have that mentality that if you go to sick call, you're not a good soldier. They still have that mentality after getting out. If I go to sick call, I'm not a good soldier. I'm a waste of time from my command. You get that head and realize that once you raise that right hand the first time, you're 100% able. As you get older, you're no longer 100% able, and you need to get benefits and get everything taken care of.
Regardless of what your mind tells you.
Yes. Don't. Every time you think you can jump on that box again, it hurts more every time you jump up on that box. And when you miss the box, it hurts even more. And then you wind up in a different room. It's called the hospital room.
Yep. Absolutely.
So as you hit the 100 episode milestone, where do you see veteran SOS going in the next, I say, 3 to 5 years?
I would like to see a Joe Rogan contract.
Hey, Spotify, you listening?
Yeah, there you go. You know, it's funny, you know, Eric, my co-host and I, the biggest thing we want to do is educate. We both have jobs and everything, so it's not like we're trying to make money from VetSOS. But we would like to, you know, start bringing in sponsors and bringing in advertising, mainly because there's a lot of things I'd like to do with the program. One being hiring a couple military spouses to actually help me with some of the administrative and social media side of the house that enables them to continue to move around and do whatever to support their families while still doing this. We have a volunteer right now who's a military spouse. He's got a couple young ones at the house, you know, so ideally we'd love to be able to pay, you know, so that she can stay home, you know, and give the kids the attention they need. The other thing we're working on right now is, and I'm hoping to roll this out hopefully by the summer. I've been running into a couple hiccups, but we're doing a piece called Sharing Our Stories. So the one thing that we all agree on is everybody has a unique story and everybody's story is powerful, because you never know who's going to hear your story and be like, man, I'm going through the same thing, or the same thing happened to me. And next thing you know, they realize they're not alone. And that's, to me, just such a powerful thing. So what we're looking to do is create this automatic recording platform where people can come on in about 15 minutes or so, tell their transition story. And then we'd like to make it so that it's completely sortable by all kinds of demographics. You know, so if you want to talk to, or if you want to listen to just senior non-commissioned officers in the Army, you can filter by that and listen to their stories. You know, if you're a general officer and you only want to listen to general officers, you know, whatever the case may be. But I think once I roll this out, and if we make it as easy as I'm trying to, we could quickly have thousands of stories. Which would just be amazing to capture all these stories where people can just tune in and listen and realize that they're not alone. Right. So that's the next thing we're trying to do. We're just trying to figure out all the pieces of it to make it as easy and seamless as possible, and a great way to capture it so people can actually look through it.
And I'm a firm believer, if people can tell their story, it relieves that pressure, no matter what their, how their transition went. If they tell their story from, no matter how far back they go to get that transition point, it helps them breathe a little easier, even if it's just sharing with you on that voice recording or knowing that it's going to get shared with others to them. That'll help them in their life as well, and then help some, at least one person that listens to it through your platform to make better choices as they move forward.
Yeah, and that's probably one of the biggest things I've learned through just being on LinkedIn and doing the podcast, is you never know how many people are actually listening. You know, you may only have 4 or 5 people jump on an event, but there may be hundreds of people that actually watch it or catch a piece of it or what have you. You know, so the impact can be infinite. And so being able to capture as much of that and put it all in one place where people can filter through it, you know, if we reach one person, it's all been worth it.
Yes. That, and I try to tell that to people all the time. Reach one, teach one. We reach one, me and you talking right now. If one person, the listeners that are alive right now on About Radio, across the world on internet radio, if one person is reached, me and you are successful tonight. And
absolutely.
And this goes on platforms later on the audio. If one person, one dudette says, those two said something that actually made sense to us. They might have been rambling, but they got it on. They said something that made sense to me, and I can make sense of this. I know what to do, not my next steps in life. I can tell my story. I can be successful. I can get that job I want. And now I found my passion.
Absolutely. And the thing is, you also never know where a person's at, you know? So you and I think you usually have pretty positive outlooks. We come across positive on the air and what have you, but we both have struggles. We both go through things as well, you know, and I had posted a couple months ago, right before Thanksgiving, that the job I was hired for out of the military was going away. Now, the company wanted to keep me, which was a blessing, but I had to change jobs. You know, so nowhere in my transition plan was after a year, you need to go get a new job. Right. You know, so, you know, you wind up going, oh, man, I got to revisit all this transition stuff and figure out, you know, what I want to do. And, you know, if I want to stay with the company, if I want to do something else and what have you. So, you know, the thing is, no matter how your transition went, there's always additional things. We're going to continue to transition. We're going to continue to grow, you know, so, you know, check out, you know, these types of events, these podcasts where you're going to hear stories and you're going to realize, oh man, I'm not the only one, you know, and you know, hopefully it helps you.
And we start stacking those victories as it's going across the bottom of the screen now. Stack those victories each day. Each day you wake up in the morning. That's a victory for us older guys, waking up and being able to stand up upright and not hear it. I mean, you're going to hear snap, crackle, pop no matter what now. But when you get through that portion of it and you're able to make your bed, brush your teeth, you're stacking those victories as you go through the day. And if you can get to X number every day or get above X number every day, you keep winning. Don't worry about the things that go wrong. Every day something's going to go wrong in life, every day. But learn from it and move forward. Don't dwell upon it. If you dwell upon it, you're never going to get your feet going. It's going to be like quicksand or spiders attacking you. Just forward and stay positive and stay forward. And I think that's what both of our shows do. And your show is awesome because it focuses on that trans piece, which a lot of people do not ever talk about.
Yeah, and that's where we're trying to stay. You know, when I was just so overwhelmed with all the support we were receiving as veterans, you know, coming out of the military, transitioning, you know, all the support that's available to us, and realizing that nobody tells us about any of these. You know, so I knew I wanted to find a way to give back. I never expected it to be a podcast, but, you know, to me, this is a way that we can give back to the community and hopefully help people behind us find those resources that really, you know, are valuable to them. You know, and going along with the stacking victories piece, I've always loved the 1% every day type mentality. You know, if I can get 1% better in something, you know, whether that's doing, you know, a workout every day or reading 30 minutes in a book every day or the Bible or whatever it may be, you start building those routines and you start doing that every day. The difference over the course of a year is just ridiculous, you know? So that's what I try to encourage people to do as well, you know?
Definitely. And I think if people can just get out of their own heads, get out of your head where this one negative thing is, I'm done. I hit this wall today. I'm done. I'm not going to get past lunch. Lunch is going to come. Dinner's going to come. You just got to keep moving forward. And yep. No matter what that little hiccup was in the morning, you're still with us. Stay with us. Keep pushing forward. Phone a friend. Ask for help.
Oh, yeah. Every one of us would rather talk to you at some weird hour of the day than go to your funeral. I mean, that's just without a doubt common throughout 100%. Our community.
Definitely. And I think hit the nail. That nail has been driven in, I think, between both of our shows and other shows within our network of friends that have shows. We tell everyone, call us. We're here for you. And I will pick up my phone. And not like I did as a platoon, so I'm not going to yell at you when I pick it up. But I'm going to say, hey, are you all right? Can I help? What can I do for you right now? I mean, I may not be right next to you, but maybe I know someone where you are, and I can get them connected with you and get you the help you need.
Yeah, it's funny. The later or the earlier in the morning the phone call comes, it's usually worse than news.
that doesn't change no matter what uniform you wear. I don't care what uniform you're wearing. If the call's after night, midnight and 5 in the morning, it's not good. It's never good. Yep. Unless someone's overseas and doesn't know how to do the time management call. That's the only time I have accepted that.
Yep.
We talked about your transition. You talked about your career. Now, where do people get in contact with you to maybe just hang out with you on your show or maybe get on your show?
So we can go to vetsospodcast.com. We actually have a link on there if you want to be on the show. Now, the one thing I will say, all right, is our focus is on that transition space and the people who help in transition. You know, once we get this sharing our stories piece going, then I'm opening it up to everybody. I want every veteran to record their story. So there's going to be two separate links that come in down the road. But it's one of those things that you can reach out to me there. I'm on Veterati, so if you want to use me as a mentor call, you can do that as well. You can also email me, sean.welsh00@gmail.com, or hit me up on LinkedIn. And of course, I got a calendar thing too. You can hop on that calendar and we can chat. We can do it any way you want to do it. I love talking to people. I love meeting people. Because the one thing I try to tell everybody in transition is do not limit yourself. Be willing to try new things. You know, never once did I thought I was going to do a podcast. For a couple months here, I was doing a local TV spot. I'm currently working on a book. I have English teachers that will roll over in their grave if they knew I was writing a book right now. You know, so it's, yeah, you know, it's one of those things where you keep your mind open, because this is your transition. Make the most of it, because you never know what door is going to lead to what. Next thing you know, you're in just some amazing situation. So, you know, be open and keep trying things.
Definitely. Don't put walls up around you based on what you have done for the last X amount of years. Yep. So much more to give to the world. You don't know the limits of your talents and your passion. Where your passion goes is where you go. Got to find it sometimes, but once you find it, dig in and stay with it.
You know, and every little skill translates one way or another. And I just posted about this past week. I'm now working as a safety professional on a job site for a construction company. The nuts and bolts of my job is being a first sergeant walking around the motor pool asking privates why they don't have their gloves or iPro on. You know,
there's PT bills.
Yeah, you're making these corrections all day long. So just that one skill of walking around the motor pool translates into, I would say, 50% of my job right now. Now, of course, a lot more goes into that with OSHA and everything, but just looking for things out of place and things that don't look right. That's something as a non-commissioned officer, that's your bread and butter. You're always looking for corrections. So
that's day to day. You may not think it's day to day, but it's ingrained in your head to look at people as they walk by and make sure everything, all their buttons are buttoned, your shoes are tied correctly. And don't,
I miss like the black boots. Said, don't have your,
yeah. Don't have your hands in their pockets on that job site. Yes. Definitely. See, always a comedian out there. Thanks, RJ. But that's the things we were not really trained to do, but made to do. We learned to be leaders. We went to your PLDC, WLC, wherever you want to call it now. And you learn that. Then you go to your next level, BNOC, BLC, ALC, and you learn all this stuff. You learn how to lead and little tools and tricks. But you don't think they're worth anything until all of a sudden it's just secondhand nature. And you can do anything you want to put your mind to.
Oh, yeah. And there's so many things that are just muscle memory from the military. And I'll tell you, that knife hand comes out quick. You know, and I don't even remember using the knife hand a whole lot in the military. But you get out here in the civilian world, next thing you know, you want to hem somebody up. But you can't, right?
Yes. You get that little twitch in your shoulder.
Yeah.
Dang, what's happening?
Yeah, and there are adjustments. You know, I remember the first meeting I held, and people were coming in late. I'm like, oh, you know, start twitching, and you know, you don't show up late to the meeting. Now you're on your phone. Oh my God,
what's going on with you?
There's definitely adjustments, man.
Yeah, it's a whole other world, especially if you go to an organization that has no military connection. It's a totally different world. And stay strong, friends that are out there. If you leave the military, go to a non-military organization, stay strong, especially if you love the position. You love the job, stay strong and stay focused on what the job is, not the people around you. That'll all come together as you grow within your organization.
Oh, absolutely. Be authentic to who you are, you know, and realize the military is a piece of you. It's not who you are. You know, regardless how much time you spend in there, it's a piece of you. It ingrains certain things in you. And, you know, a lot of organizations these days have veteran coordinators, you know, people who are veterans that help the veterans with that transition piece into a company, or if they have issues within the company, seek those people out, because they're going to be able to help you, you know, make some of those adjustments, you know, so there's ways and means out there. Don't don't just, sit there and stew or, wind up losing your stuff in a meeting and wind up looking for a job the next day.
And having a bad note on you when they go look at that reference and it's not worth it.
Oh, yeah.
Just take a deep breath, let it in and say, where do I want to be tomorrow? And that tomorrow is going to be a better day. It always is. Sean, as we get close to closing here, I want you to give the audience three bit of advice that helped you transition and not might help them transition as they move towards that position.
The number one I tell everybody is start early. You have to start early. The earlier you do it, the better you're going to have it. Two, I mentioned it earlier, be open. Be open to try new things. Because you never know. You may think that this is your career path and that's all you're going to do. Next thing you know, you try something new or you have a conversation with somebody and you're like, whoa, here I am hosting a podcast. And never expected to happen. And you're flashing RJ across the bottom again.
Yes.
I'm glad you tuned in, RJ. And the final one, I always tell people to get more than one recommendation when it comes to a transition program, because I may have loved the program. Rich may have hated it, so get multiple opinions before you go and do one. There's over 40,000 organizations. There's tons of programs to do. Some are great. Some aren't so great. And everybody has a different experience. So ask around as you network and you meet these people, especially at like the virtual networking events. Talk to people and find out what programs they did. Get their review of something. I did 26 programs. That's a little excessive. I'll admit it. But I have ones that I loved and I had ones that I didn't find that valuable, and I'm willing to share people, but I also explained to why I didn't think it was valuable. I'm not, oh, they suck. No, I don't do that. I'm going to tell you why I didn't find it as valuable. But do that. Do your research, figure out, what you think is going to work for you. If you've ever heard of Alfredo Torres, he says that transition is like a buffet. You go up there and you pick and choose what you want. It's the greatest way to look at it. There's so many things out there. Pick and choose what works for you to set you up for success and have a great transition.
Oh, yeah. Tip the waters and find what's right for you. I think that's with everything in life. You have to find what's right for you. Sean, thanks for hanging out with us tonight. For your hotel room, of course. And I hope that you're long stay there. It gives you a lot of, member points to whatever hotel you're at. And you can get some free stays with you and your family later on. And it's been great chatting with you again. I look forward to hanging out with you again in the future.
Absolutely, Richard. Thank you so much for having me on, man. I love what you're doing with Misfit Nation. Just some great stuff. And you've had so many great shows. And I'm just amazed by, one, how many shows you've had. It's just way out there, which is awesome. But definitely look forward to doing more together, brother.
Definitely, brother. Have a good night.
All right, you too.
For every veteran, there is a story. A story about a calling to serve, to fight for the freedoms of the American people. And every story has a struggle, a sacrifice, and invisible wounds. Warrior Wads programs help veterans recover from PTSD and invisible wounds through exercise, nutrition, and connecting with other veteran leaders. It is estimated that 22 veterans die each day by suicide, and another 30 veterans die each day by substance abuse. These are preventable deaths. Warrior Wad is committed to fighting PTSD through fitness, nutrition, and community.
Thanks for checking us out and being a part of the Misfit Nation show. Don't forget to visit our website at themisfitnation.com. That's themisfitnation.com. Check out all our past episodes and get some of the great Misfit Nation gear for you and your family. As always, be humble, stay hungry, and keep hustling, because we are
Misfit Nation. Misfit Nation.